Good morning, everybody. Rejoice. Rejoice. All right. Thank you. Are you warmed up now? Ready to go? Here we are on the sixth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. One more day to go after this. When we got here this week, I asked several of you, are you glad to be here? Oh, yes, we are here. We are finally here. Today I ask, and it's yes, we are here. We are still here. No, we are still excited to be here. I see great joy amongst the crowd and in the family of God. And I've spoken to Mr. Foster in Daytona. And he says there's an electric buzz in the air. And I said, yes, sir, there is one here too. And it is everywhere. And I'm sure all across the world, wherever God has placed his name, the people are electric and filled with his spirit and in rejoicing. Many of us have attended the Church of God for years, right? There are some new people here. I know I've met a couple, and we have one in our area that's here for the first time or first feast. But many of us, more of us, I've been here for a long, long time. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to look at Mr. Henniger over there. Because as we found out yesterday, they've been here a long time. That's not a bad thing. That shows that they have endurance and they are sticking to it like they should and like we all should. It is likely this week that we've had conversations with people about how they first came into the church and how long ago that was and the differences that we had at that time. How many of you remember 3 services a day? Yes. As a little child, we had to go to church 3 times in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the night. 3 times. We needed it. We needed to learn. It was a time of learning and growing. Over the years, it cut back because the fellowship became also a part of the worship, the gathering together outside of services. Of course, there's been times when we go to a site and we worry more about what there is to do at that site than the fellowship time that we have with one another. But I sense this year there's a sense that's coming back to the fellowship, to the camaraderie that we have with one another. It's wonderful to see that. Over the years, as we consistently do these things over and over and over, we go to Sabbath services every week. We go to the holy days, we keep the Passover, we keep the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and then we start all over again and we do it again. And we do it again, year after year after year. And we can begin to get the word that we heard several times today, yesterday, complacent. We can get the feeling of really not being a part of it, fully engaged in it. But I have a phrase for you. We are not there yet. We are not home yet. We're not leaving here today to go home. This is a phrase that's used many times in cross-country bicyclists, cycle for 50, 100, whatever, however many miles. My brother rides a 300-mile hotter than you know what in West Texas. Towards the end of that race, a couple of miles before the finish line, even sometimes 10 miles before the finish line, the lead rider yells out, "Not home yet." And it passes down through the ranks, "Not home yet." And the reason they do that is so no one forgets that we're still riding. We still have some distance to go. And we must pay attention to the road because it can reach up and bite us and knock us off of it. We can't forget. We are not home yet. As we have consistently attended the Feast of Tabernacles and observed God's holy days for however as long as we have done it, we cannot forget that we are not finished. We still have some distance to go. This familiarity can sometimes lead us to a complacency attitude, a mental attitude, a spiritual attitude of just going through the motions. But our hearts, our minds are not engaged like they should be again. I don't want to beat anybody up about this today because, as I said, we are definitely in a good spirit here. But trust me, we are all human beings, and we can have those moments when we feel like we just can't go anymore. Even at the feast, when we've been rejoicing and having fun, having fellowship, spending time with our family, enjoying this Feast of Tabernacles, we even get tired of that because we are still physical human beings. It's a similar to just like in the workplace, where when you go to work, when we have repeated exposure to the same tasks over and over and over, or we have so much experience that we can begin to think that nothing can hurt me, so we get complacent about our work. And we tend to overlook safety practices that we've been taught or trained and we know we should do. We forget to wear the personal protective equipment that we need to have on us to protect us from the things that can hurt us and harm us. Our spiritual journey can be the same way. We could be traveling on this spiritual road to the kingdom of God, and we can begin to get complacent and forget that we must still study, pray, fast, meditate, visit fellowship, attend services, learn, get educated on God's way of life, and continue to be trained and constantly remember to plant that in our brains and in our hearts. We must be vigilant. We can lose our sense of vigilance and our purpose if we allow this complacency to set in. Recognizing this tendency in our spiritual lives and our physical lives, this is the first step that we need to have to renew our commitment and ensure that our actions remain meaningful and intentional. We must be intentional about why we are here. While I was employed with Beechcraft Aircraft Company, I was the OSHA safety manager, not the aviation safety side of the house, but the employee safety. And as they did their work, I watched them do things that were sometimes kind of crazy and they hurt themselves. But there was a program that we used in our training. It's called the Safe Start Program. I became a certified trainer in this program, attending the seminars and the training, and learned how to do this and brought it back to the company and sold them on the fact that we could use this company and it would lower our injury and accident rates. My company chose to use this training, this material, to educate our employees so that we could eliminate and lessen the amount of injuries, auto accidents, and the times that we damaged people's property. We're working on airplanes, and when we damaged one of those, it was quite expensive to repair on our part. And so we had some of that happening, and we wanted to end that. The Safe Start program is a program that was authored by a company called Electrolab, and a gentleman named Larry Wilson. He actually came into our seminar and trained us in this program. For 25 years, now it's probably been 35 years because that was 10 years ago, but Larry did some studies on accident investigations to determine why accidents happen. Someone becomes injured either on the job or outside of work during their regular daily activities. What causes these things to happen? After years of research, Larry found that basically most accidents occur for some very basic and simple reasons. Now, that's simple reasons, but they're difficult to overcome. Keep that in mind as we go through this. He analyzed multiple accident investigations and came to understand that 95% of the time, employees injured themselves or it damaged property or had accidents because of four very specific mental states or attitudes that he found the employees to be in. Number one was rushing. Employees that rush through a project or whatever tend to lose focus and lose sight of the thing that they're working on and may hurt themselves. The other thing is frustration. ever happened to us. We get frustrated with something, and then before we know it, we've smashed our finger or, you know, ran into somebody or wrecked a car or whatever. A third one is fatigue. We get tired. We don't get the proper amounts of sleep, rest we need. We go to work, we're tired, and accidents happen. The fourth one, the one that we're going to deal with today, was complacency. These four states or attitudes that people were found to be in would lead to the following errors. Eyes not on task. They weren't watching what they were doing. Mind not on task. They weren't thinking about what they were doing. Then he calls this one just line of fire, which means you find yourself in a position to be in between whatever's going to hit you and what it was aiming for. Whether it was something that fell or whatever, but 9 times out of 10, it's because you weren't paying attention, you weren't using your mind, and you got in the way of something. And then the fourth one was balance, traction, and grip. We lose our balance. We slip on a floor because we don't have proper shoes on or whatever, or somebody didn't clean up a mess, or we lose our grip on what we're holding and it can cause an injury. So these state, in other words, the four states that people are in, to error patterns increase the risk of injury. So today I just want to focus on complacency. This is one of these states that is very critical, and it will help us to recognize how we can find ourselves spiritually disconnected from God. If we recognize these things, we can learn to avoid finding ourselves in a very dangerous state. And I'm not talking about physical injury. I'm talking about the loss of our very spiritual lives. In an article in a Marine newspaper, it's like a base paper that they kept up people on their base up to date on things, and it sometimes got distributed to several bases. But the headline was Marine Killed by Complacency in Afghanistan. Now, that's kind of strange sounding, right? A Marine was killed by complacency in Afghanistan. This was from September 24th, 2012, in an article on Camp Leatherneck, which I'm not sure where that is, but I think it was in Afghanistan, a temporary base. But it starts off and says, a 24-year-old Marine Corporal John Felton from Galveston, Texas, died from complacency in Afghanistan last week. According to a statement released by the Department of Defense, he was a radar technician stationed at Camp Leatherneck, the largest Marine Corps base in the country. A public affairs spokesman for the Marine Corps held a press conference because of some unusual details surrounding the tragedy. Quote, he says, we were still investigating the incident, Captain Tony White told the assembled group, but it does appear that the Marine in question died due to complications resulting from complacency. We do not suspect any foul play at this time. It's not entirely clear what the incident means for the war effort, this is in the article still, or its medical ramifications for deployed personnel. While many people are shocked, senior enlisted Marines reacted to the news with a noticeable lack of surprise. One quote, one gunnery sergeant who wanted to remain anonymous, quote, was quoted as saying, of course you can die from complacency. I say that to my young devil pups all the time. They knew about it. They knew that people just didn't care about the dangers they were in, and they were in a war zone. Article goes on and says, this may not be the first casualty from complacency either, according to several insider sources. Of course, the president at that time was President Obama, and he was asked to make a comment on this article. And in typical presidential language, he says, in his statement in the White House blog, he just put this out on the White House blog, saying that he promised a global war on complacency. In the statement, he said, any forward base that continues to harbor and support complacency will be regarded by the United States as a hostile regime. Now, that sounds very presidential, doesn't it? Complacency represents one of the most hazardous conditions any of us as individuals can encounter. Among various states, complacency is often the least recognized. When we are complacent, we don't even know, because we really just are complacent about it. We just don't care to know. How many of us want the person that works on our airplane when we're getting ready to fly be complacent on his job and forget a few nuts and bolts? Not me. How about the pilot himself? How many of us want that pilot to come in and say, ho-hum, another day. Let's push this button. And oh, yeah, we got to push this button. Let's fly. How many of you have heard of the ones that fall asleep in the cockpit and they wake up just in time to realize the autopilot's still flying the plane farther than they wanted to go? I don't want to be on those planes. I don't want those people to be complacent. But you and I need to work on these things. When conducting the Safe Start training material, we talk to our employees about working on safety, working on their safety-related habits, any habits that they had used their whole lives could hurt them, bad habits. The worst people were the ones that had done the job for 40 years. Oh, I've been doing this for 40 years and I never got hurt. The next day he loses a finger, doing the same exact job that he'd been doing for 40 years. We can do that too. But we wanted them to compensate for complacency by leading to things to understand where their mind was. We did not want them to find that their mind was not on the work that they were doing, so that they would be able to automatically and habitually do the job safely, more safe. We would ask them, this is one of the steps in the program, every time you have a little near miss, okay, I almost smashed my thumb, but I didn't. Well, what happened to lead up to that? They got tired of me coming around and asking why they had a bruise on the back of their hand. How'd that happen? We conducted every simple little close call or near miss that we didn't have to report to OSHA as a true accident, so that we made them aware that we wanted to prevent the events that led up to that accident and not ignore them. This is a process that we can also use in our spiritual life. As we begin to get complacent, we can begin to look at the things even when we slightly slip off and walk off the trail, get back on and repent and use the tools that God has given us to use. We ask them to analyze close calls that they might have during the day, all the near misses. When it comes to complacency, it is the most unrecognized, as we said earlier, state of all states that I mentioned. We don't even know when we are complacent, and that is a very dangerous state to be in. So what is complacency? Let's just quickly look at a definition. Complacency as a noun is a feeling of being satisfied with how things are and not wanting to try to make them better. Wow. Also, complacency can be self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers and deficiencies. Complacency can be an instance, usually, of unaware or uninformed self-satisfaction. When do you think that you and I are the most complacent? It typically happens to us during activities that we frequently repeat, as I've mentioned. We do things over and over and over. The Sabbath becomes just a routine. Friday becomes a day we just remember that, okay, we've got to go to church tomorrow. We go to church. Where are we going for lunch? We go to lunch. We go home. Well, I'm going to take a nap. It becomes so routine that we forget that that time is set aside for us to fellowship with our brethren, fellowship with God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our older brother, spend more time in study, in prayer. Yes, we need to get some rest. We are still physical. But if we get some spiritual rejuvenation also, we will be revitalized. Think about the physical activities that we do every day. When we're driving a car, we come home, we get home from work, and we don't remember the last 5 minutes of our drive home. Did I stop at that stop sign back there? Did I stop at that red light? I'm in the driveway. How did I get here? Ever happened to you? Unfortunately, I drive towards work and I wake up and say, oh, where am I going? When you and I get away from the things that we know that we need to be doing, like prayer and Bible study, we can allow our lives to become filled with holes. Filled with holes. Then our thoughts can become quickly filled with worry, with anxiety, with the troubles of this world can begin to affect us. We begin to fill those holes in our lives by expending our energy on things. Things that cannot fill these holes. They can temporarily give us a feeling of excitement or whatever, but when we're done with it, the hole is still there. We need to expend our energy on acquiring spiritual possessions. We'll see that as we go into the scriptures here in a minute. When we begin to pursue wrong desires, we begin to become more frustrated and more anxious because we don't really fill the hole with what needs to be put in there. God's people can stay ready for the challenge. We can stay ready for this challenge if we go to God and ask Him to help us see our complacency, because obviously we tend to not see it ourselves. And again, it's the simple steps. I say they're simple again, but it's difficult to do. We forget. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to study. We need to read our Bibles. We need to open our paper and leather-bound Bibles. Put away the electronics sometimes. Now, the electronic tool is great. You're in a place where you didn't bring your Bible. You can open it up anytime, day or night. And some of us are using them here right now. That's fine. But sometimes we still need to pull out that book and look inside. Because everything we need to know about everything in life is in there. And we cannot forget that, because if we get complacent about that, we stop meditating on it, we stop studying it. We will lose our personal protective equipment. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, we're very familiar with this. We've seen articles all year. In summer camps, the kids have learned about the armor of God. But think about that as our spiritual, personal, protective equipment. Now, I'm not going to go through each piece of that here today. I'm just going to remind us that God urges us to put on His full armor that He provides for us. In verse 11 of Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, every piece of it. Don't forget to put on your shoes. Don't forget to put on all these pieces that God provides for us. If you forget one thing, that leaves an opening. We put on that armor so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. If this happens to us, our relationships with one another can begin to diminish. And our relationship with our Father can diminish. And the protection that He provides for us can go away. It should be our goal to wear that armor every day, to study about it, what it protects us from, what we need to be watching out for. We can't become so routine in our spiritual walk that we forget that Satan is still there. He is still trying to get us. Our relationships can grow apart. It is interesting that when we are in spiritual complacency, just like physical complacency, we don't even realize we're there. It's ironic that in this complacent state, people can often emotionally and spiritually feel secure. They think, yeah, I'm okay. I'm pretty righteous. I know more than, oh, that guy over there. Well, if you're worried about that guy over there, maybe you need to turn around and look inside. I'm sorry, I don't want to feel like I'm correcting or anything like that. I'm encouraging us again, as Mr. Coover told us. We need to be encouraged to understand that we can get complacent and there is a way to get out of it. If we find ourselves facing a difficult trial, just remember that God says He will never leave us and never depart from us. We all make mistakes, but God promises us that He will be there for us. So we must go to Him and seek Him. Ask Him to give us that armor, each piece, and show us how to use it. And remember, we need to practice using it for us before we go out and take our sword and chop everybody else up. The hazards that we face can sneak up on us and cause serious injury and even death. And that's the worst kind of death of all. It's important to regularly acknowledge the hazards that were presented to us each day and avoid becoming complacent about them. Remember, the soldier in Afghanistan, in the war zone, in a danger zone. We are in a war zone every day, being attacked by Satan and his demons. This is also how you and I need to fight our spiritual complacency. We must constantly be reminded of what the hazards are that we face. I know it's depressing to think about. But again, remember, God will not forsake us. He is our armor. He is our shield. He is there for us. We should know our enemy very well and never underestimate his desire to destroy us and always be aware of the danger that he presents to us daily in our lives. God has stern warnings for his people in the Bible for us. Let's pay attention to those. Let's not become complacent. When I say complacency in a church somewhere, what's the first one that comes to mind? Laodicea. Okay, we're not going to bash Laodicea, because let's look at that. Let's remember that God is just telling them, just like today, we're being told that we can't become complacent because God wants us. So go with me to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 17. It starts off, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Spiritually complacent. I've got it all. I'm good. I'm righteous. I have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you. God says, wake up. Don't be complacent. Look at yourselves. You're blind. You're naked. You're wretched. You're miserable. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. Ask God to show us, open our eyes so that we can see what we may be complacent about. What do we need to pay attention to? Remind us of the hazards that we face every day. He says, as many in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And remember the first words there, as many as I love. He's talking about even those of us that may have this attitude of I have need of nothing. He still loves us. So he's going to give us a little spanking to remind us to wake up. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. He wants to be with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to share time with us. But we must wake up and accept the fact that we may be blind, we may be naked, we may be wretched, and we need God's gold. We need the white robes that he's preparing for us. You can go and study what those represent. We don't have time to go into that today. But what the gold and white robes represent for us. To him who overcomes, verse 21, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus Christ is not giving up on us yet. He does not want to give up on us ever. He wants us to be there. But we have to answer the knock. We have to let him in. We have to bring him, let him come in and sit with us and fellowship with us and dine with us and learn to live as he lives. Verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We are a church, and we must hear what he says to us. Christ warned that they were in very much danger of being left out of the kingdom. Let's go to Proverbs and read a section there about what it says if we ignore God, if we become complacent. Proverbs 1, verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terrors come. When your terrors come like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Why won't they find him? Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Have we heard that this week? We are to have a proper fear for God, which means we need to listen to him, respect him, honor him, and pay attention to what he says. Don't get complacent about it. That's the reason why, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and will be filled to the full with their own fancies. And trust me, those are not the ones we want. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, get that? We heard this yesterday, the voice of God, Psalm 29. Listen, for whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So if we get complacent, we need to listen. We need to pay attention. We should know our enemy. Never underestimate his desire to destroy us. We should pay attention to that. But we also should remember that God will rebuke him and take him away. God will protect us from him. His desire is to destroy us always. And if we are aware of that, we can remain alive because we are aware and we ask for God's protection to protect us from him. Satan is relentless and he never sleeps. He doesn't get complacent about what his job is that he chose to do. Never forget that Satan wants to maul us. He wants to maim us. He wants to destroy us and take us away from what God has planned for us. Now is the time to change. This is not the time to be complacent. We look at this world today and we do not have time to be complacent. We must wake up. We are not home yet. Let's pass that along to everyone that we share this life with. We are not home yet. Let's pay attention. We don't want to fall off the road. We don't want to crash our bicycle. We are not home yet. Complacency opens the door for destruction, as seen in the warning to those who turn away and ignore wise counsel, as we saw in the Proverbs. We will face the consequences of our choices if we do not remain vigilant. Instead, we are called to be actively seeking wisdom, seeking the embrace and embracing the fear of God, and listen to his guidance. Remember his voice. In doing so, we find security and peace, safe from harm that comes from spiritual negligence. Let us be alert. Let us be proactive. Let us refuse to underestimate the power of the enemy. And don't forget what he is trying to do to us. If we fall into that state, we will certainly be destroyed. We are on this spiritual journey, and let's not forget we still have time, some places to go. Let us all stay vigilant and remain excited about what God has planned for us in his kingdom. Let's not let complacency destroy us.